on the 1 yard line with their backs against the wall.
This ain't a game to me. If you think it's a game, get the fuck off of this bus.
Welcome one, welcome all, and welcome back to the Believe in Iowa State podcast. I'm your host, Tyler Carter. Cody, we are going to go in-depth into this game this is the Pop-Tarts Bowl. Probably going to be one of the most watchable games of this bowl season. Just as far as we know, we do have everybody playing. We do have some breaking news from the transfer portal. Tyler Onyedum has officially entered the transfer portal. That was news a few days ago that happened this past weekend. So best of luck to him. But that was clearly a shock.
Yeah. Him entering the transfer portal is one that, like, I think no one's expected. I don't think most of the fans did not expect Tyler Onyedum to enter the portal. I think out of any of the starters, I think Tyler Onyedum was the last. Like, the starters in general, they didn't feel like they'd enter the portal, but definitely Tyler Onyedum did not feel like somebody who was leading to enter the portal, but here we are. So, I mean, maybe, like, since we don't know conclusively yet as to a reasoning why, I won't assume anything here, but maybe given that he is from the Texas area, if I'm not mistaken, he's from the Houston area, correct?
Yes, he's from Richmond, Texas, which is right outside of Houston.
Okay, maybe trying to play a little closer to home, perhaps. I mean, another rumor was that there were some SEC schools that were looking for his talent, so we'll see what happens. Where he ends up.
We'll see where he ends up, but best of luck to him. Thank you for all you've done for ISU. So that will leave a bit of a, you know, this is going to be an audition time for some of the other linemen, like Zamir Honk. We're going to see a lot of him in this bowl game. Yeah. But so let's just get into this preview. So first, we're going to break down the Miami offense. And really, basically, this is just going to be a thing. Because we still don't know who's all going to be playing in this game. We're just going to give you guys some of the notable players that could be playing in this game, hypothetically. So right now, Cam Ward did say that he is going to play. So he leads this offense, 4,000 yard passer, finished fourth in Heisman voting, presentation a few weeks ago. So he is a dynamic player.
Yep, I mean, Cam Ward, I mean, he was one of the four Heisman finalists, if I'm not mistaken, led Miami to a 10-2 regular season. I mean, they were, for the most part, in the driver's seat for the ACC championship. Fortunately, they stumbled along the way, and they unfortunately did not make the ACC championship game. But Miami's still a dangerous squad. Obviously, you have the high-flying offense of Cam Ward. And then you also have their leading, his favorite receiver to go to, Xavier Restrepo, who leads the team with 1,123 yards and 11 touchdowns. And also to complement that dynamic duo, you do have Damian Martinez, who's the leading rusher of that squad with 823 yards and 9 touchdowns on the year.
Right, and then they also have a team ahead of Monster with a back, Mark Fletcher Jr., 545 yards and 8 touchdowns. So I'm guessing he has to be the short yardage guy.
For sure.
And then a notable loss for them, they lost Isaiah Horton to a transfer portal. Isaiah Horton transferred to Alabama, which was actually pretty interesting because he had 56 catches for 616 yards and 8 touchdowns. So it was very, very interesting to see how he just went to Alabama. So this should be interesting. I think, you know, for us defensively, like one of the ways that we can, some of the strategies, and there's a few bullet points that we can elaborate on. The first one is to find a way to dial up pressure. Now, obviously, with our defense, we have been struggling to find pressure all year long, but I believe that the professor has found something in these last few games to dial up pressure, send the linebackers, and it helps that now that we have all of our linebackers healthy to bring blitzes.
Yeah, I mean, in the John Haycock defense, you typically want to have, like, some really good linebackers that really complement, like, that three-man front. You always want to have great linebackers making great plays. And unfortunately, throughout the year, they never had those linebackers, so it was kind of difficult to really execute the defense as much as you would like to. But now, yes, you do have a couple weeks. You've gotten most of your linebackers healthy. So I think now they'll be able to ramp up the pressure because they're not just going to have guys. It's not just going to be you have the linebackers back. You have some really excellent linebackers that can blitz well, close gaps, close off running lanes, and be able to wrap guys up.
No, definitely, man. So that's going to be huge. And then just we're going to talk about these just in together. Play disciplined and make plays, man. Just really key. One of the keys to being a good defense is just knowing your assignment, knowing what you're doing, and just having all the experience back at that linebacker position and really just all the experience around this entire defense and just knowing your assignment, being sound defensively, making plays like we always do, you know, lay it all out there. For some guys, this is their last game. So just lay it all out there, have fun, and give it your all.
Yeah. Exactly, with those guys as well, like we mentioned, playing discipline, making plays. If you're the defense, you want to get off the field as fast as you can. Do not allow Miami to sustain long drives because that wears you out, and puts more pressure on your offense, and just doesn't bode well if you're constantly on the field for 7, 8, 9, 10-plus play drives.
Yeah, and you don't want to leave a guy like Cam Ward on the field. He will find holes in your defense, and he will tear your defense apart. Like, he's been absolutely spectacular. There's a reason why he was in New York as a Heisman finalist.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's look at the Miami offense. Now, obviously, we told you guys about the key players, but we're gonna talk about the Miami defense. Yeah, sorry, all right, my bad. So Miami's defense is very, very aggressive. So they like to blitz a lot and like to take risks. And they also like to play man coverage. There are certain times where they like to play in zone and they do switch up their fronts a lot and they like to be multiple. So they will sometimes will go to a 3-3-5 to a 4-3 to a 4-2-5, just to keep the offense honest. And one of the guys that you guys that fans need to look for is Francisco Maligoa. He's number 51 in the defense. They usually like to bring him through the middle of the line on defense. And so I definitely will watch out for him. One of the other notable players would be Michelle Powell, 5 interceptions on the year, which leads the team. So Cody, what are your thoughts?
I'm going to assume, based on the fact that Powell has 5 interceptions on the year, he is like Miami's number one DB. So I'm going to assume the matchup is going to be him and Jaden Higgins, given that Jaden Higgins is likely our number one wide receiver. Right. So, I mean, I think the key for Miami is they do definitely want to be able to shut down Jaden Higgins' ability to really get the ball, because I feel like once Higgins has the ball, he can easily break off a large play. But, I mean, that could possibly, outside of Powell, I haven't really. Just something about the Miami's defense outside of him hasn't been great, because Miami usually, I don't usually think of defense like lately when it comes to Miami outside of the 2001 squad with Ed Reed and all those like Hall of Fame NFL pros.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, for this year, this has been more of an offensively led Miami squad, because I believe they're one of like, I don't know, they're in like the bottom half when it comes to total defense, because Miami tends to get themselves into a lot of close games against some competition that I feel like they should be able to beat. I mean, they've allowed almost in 3, 4, 5 of their conference game, they've allowed 30-plus points. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're forced to be in these shootouts, and outside of and then even losing to Georgia Tech and Syracuse, I think there's something that Iowa State can do. I feel like Iowa State is a step above the competition, like Virginia Tech, Cal, and Louisville. That's just my bias, but like I said, I mean, allowing 30-plus points in 5 of these games and allowing Louisville to score 40 points on you. Miami's been in they've been playing with fire a lot this year when it comes to not being able to get off the field. So I think this might be a case where it may bode well for Iowa State, because yes, Miami does like to blitz a lot, but I think Rocco having Jalen Noel down the middle, I think, does he have Ben Bramer back? Do we know about
I think they said that he might be back. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think he might be playing.
Yeah. If so, that's going to be a great option for Rocco Beck to get the ball out quickly and be able to capitalize on Miami bringing up the aggression. If we don't let the Miami defense to get home and sack Rocco Beck, we protect Rocco Beck, give him time to throw, he's going to find his guys and going to be able to exploit that aggressiveness.
Definitely. That's going to be one of the keys. Use their aggressiveness against them. They love to play, like we said earlier in the opening, Miami loves to play man. So, hey, let's see if their guy can beat our guy. I'm very, very confident that Jaden Higgins can beat their best guy. I also expect for Jalen Noel to have a big game, and then I expect Ben Bramer to be, and the other tight ends that get involved in this game to have a big game and across that seam across the middle. That's gonna be one of our bread and butter. I'm really, really hoping that like we really do look at this and like actually like start and off with the pass, because we have seen it sometimes where we'd like to be hell bent on trying to establish the run. Mm-hmm. Miami actually does have a good run defense. Now, obviously, it takes a hit with their pass defense not being as good, but they're mm-hmm. one of the top run defenses in college football. So, like, I don't think that running the ball, I think we should pass out the run. Because obviously, if those passing lanes, if they're going to be worried about passing lanes with Higgins and Noel, those running lanes are going to be open. So, like, if the chance presents itself, run the ball. Like, run the ball if needed. Like, mm-hmm. if you can do that and find the lanes, then I would, yeah, run the ball. But I would just pass it all over the yard.
Yeah, I mean, you could just run, like, a style of, like, air raid. But also, if you do want to run the ball, you got to get your guys out in different ways. So, like, maybe, like, a toss here and there. Just come up with different ways to really get the ground game going. Because there are times where I think we spend a lot of time, we're pretty stubborn with running certain run plays, which haven't worked. So I think if we got to get a little more crafty. I mean, there's nothing, you don't really play, you just leave it out on the field. There's nothing to lose. Like, you've already achieved a lot of history, why not go for more? And why not do it in a very fun way as well? Because this is not like you're playing for next year. That's the obvious thing. And maybe you want to see what you have. You got nothing else to lose in this game. That's the main thing. Is just leave it out all there. Just come up with trick plays here and there. Just leave it all in the field. Just have a great time. And,
Yeah, man, and just a few other notables. Jaden Higgins, Jalen Noel, and Darian Porter have all gotten an invite to the Reese's Senior Bowl, which is a huge thing because usually people that play in the Senior Bowl are likely to get drafted. So mm-hmm. congrats to all of them, and I realize that, like, Darian Porter, like, a lot of teams like him, especially with his length and, you know, his – that's him being like a star special teams guy and also just a very just good corner prospect. I'm really, really excited next month when the Senior Bowl ramps up to see how these guys do.
Mm-hmm. And then I think I did see something as well. Iowa State offensive lineman Jalen Travis was invited to something. I don't remember the exact name of it. Do you know off the top of your head?
It might have been the East-West Shrine Bowl.
Yeah, okay, I think that's what it was. That's probably what it was, because I was seeing... Yeah, East-West Shrine Bowl offensive lineman Jalen Travis was invited to play, accepted his invitation to play in the East-West Shrine Bowl, so that's also good to see. Jalen Travis was really great for Iowa State's offensive line, because we need somebody who could really, like, take care of like Rocco's blind side. Mm-hmm. And having Jalen Travis in that position, he was a great grab out of the portal. Out of Princeton. I mean, he's not just a great football player, but he's also a great, like, academic. He's got his life. He's got a lot of life ahead of him. Obviously, came from Princeton, a Ivy League school, and I believe he's pursuing more schooling after that. I think he's plan to go to law school after, so very smart man.
Very, very smart man. And, you know, he has also NFL prospects ahead of him, so, like, he's got his life in order, man. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, we've done all this analysis. How do you see this game going?
This one could end up, like, obviously, both offenses have proven that they can score a good amount of points. Miami, we obviously know their offense is spectacular, so they're going to put up a good amount of points. I think it's just about Iowa State being able to match that, like, pace of scoring and also getting a stop here and there. If Iowa State can go punch for punch with Miami's offense on when they are on offense and get a couple stops, I think Iowa State might be able to pull this out. But I mean, that Miami offense is very dangerous. So
yeah,
if Miami's able to exploit the Iowa State defense, if they're able to see, like, we're not on our assignments, we're not in proper position to make plays, then Miami can carve up the defense and possibly stay on the field for a while.
Yeah, that's exactly how I'm feeling. I don't know if I really have a prediction for you, like, mm-hmm. because it's honestly going to depend on how offensively we call this game. Like, offensively, like, the chance is there for us to get and put up points, but we get in our own way sometimes. So we're going to see. We're really going to see if we get in our own way or not.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are some other notable bowl games that I wanted to look at, that especially this upcoming weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to take a look at those real quick. One second, I'm going to share my screen. All right, here we go. So we have, and these are upcoming for Friday. And I guess, I mean, some, I don't know if any of these Thursday ones are really, really, like, we have the game above, which used to be the Little Caesars Bowl, the Rate Bowl, which is Rutgers and K-State, and then the 68 Ventures Bowl, which I don't really see. I don't know if you really had any thoughts on those. Friday, it looks like these are the matchups that, like, everyone's looking forward to.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think this Birmingham Bowl has a chance to be pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
You have Georgia Tech versus Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt had a decent year, 6-6, beat Bama, hung in there with Texas. So, I mean, Georgia Tech and Vanderbilt, both pesky teams in their conferences, mm-hmm. will face off against each other. I'm excited to watch this.
Yeah, that one's pretty interesting. So that'll be one to look out for on Friday. And then at 7, you have the Liberty Bowl between Texas Tech and Arkansas. And I want to make this real quick. What's up with literally any other year that the Big 12 sends a team to the Liberty Bowl, they get to play an SEC school. But whenever Iowa State has to play the Liberty Bowl, they got to play Memphis. It's happened twice.
Man, I don't get it. I would love to have played Auburn, somebody. Oh, no, you're going to play Memphis. Bro, why?
Like, I don't know, like, how many times has Iowa State played Memphis in the Liberty Bowl?
Twice.
Okay, so it was going to be perfect. To quote Dr. Mertz, Phineas and Ferb, if I had a nickel for every time Iowa State Cyclones played the Memphis Tigers in the Liberty Bowl, I'd have two nickels. It's just a lot. It's crazy it's happened twice. Yeah, I would have those two nickels just for that situation.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense, man.
It's hilarious.
It is hilarious.
Let's see. You got Syracuse, Washington State. You have Kyle McCord going against John Battier. Holiday Bowl. That one could be fun.
That one could be fireworks. Actually, John Battier transferred to Oklahoma. And, like...
So he was already off of campus?
Yeah, the coach left, too. Yeah, like, Washington State is basically... They're everything is depleted.
Wow. Like,
everybody left, bro.
Wow.
But yeah, it's crazy.
So it's kind of like what happened to Marshall.
Yes.
Oh, God.
But not at, yeah, as like, ouch. Where, like, they, I guess they still have people, but, like, yeah, they, everybody left, bro. It's, ouch. That's going to be interesting.
Yeah. And then you've got the Las Vegas Bowl, A&M, Texas A&M taking on USC. I mean, Mike Elbow, or is it Mike Elko?
Yeah, Mike Elko,
yeah. Yeah, first year at Texas A&M, they looked pretty solid. I mean, they were in that game against Texas. They were in the game against Notre Dame, so not able to close out. But Texas A&M is looking pretty solid. I think they might be taking a footstep out to cleanse themselves out of the Jimbo Fisher era at A&M, and then maybe finally going to the SEC championship game, maybe winning the conference.
Yeah, we'll see what kind of steps they'd make in this upcoming offseason. So we had, and then we have Saturday, which we have some very, very fun matchups.
You got UConn taking on North Carolina in the Wasabi Fenway Bowl in Fenway Park. Obviously, if you've heard the news, UNC did hire former New England Patriots head coach Bill Belichick. People are already calling North Carolina Chapel Bill. So, is he coaching this one?
No, he will be there, though.
Okay.
He's not coaching, so, but the interim is coaching, yeah.
All right, so I guess that's a good glance, like, to see what Bill Belichick's going to be dealing with. But, yeah. And then another baseball stadium, you have the Bad Boy Mowers Pinstripe Bowl. Boston College take it on Nebraska.
Yeah, but Nebraska finally breaks their bowl streak after 8 years.
And they almost blew it, though. I won't lie.
They did almost blow it, yeah.
Started 5-1, 5-2?
Yep.
That would have been true Nebraska form as of late, but anyways.
Yep, and then we have Louisiana TCU in the New Mexico Bowl. This one's going to be interesting. The Raging Cajuns had a very, very good year.
Mm-hmm.
TCU bounces back with an 8-4 record. Yeah. So that one's going to be a fun watch. That's right before Pop-Tarts Bowl. We got the Snoop Dogg Arizona Bowl.
Yes. Just strictly for the name, I am all here for it.
Yeah. Apparently, there's like a, yeah, I don't even know really about this game. I'm just going to watch it just for all the extracurriculars.
Yeah. You've got the Gold Boy Military Bowl between East Carolina and NC State. And then at 7:30, you've got the Alamo Bowl between BYU and Colorado.
This one, I am excited. I am excited for this matchup. I'm going to be watching that one. That's going to be a great game. I will be tuned in. And It's been confirmed that Shadur and Travis will be playing in this game.
Ooh, okay.
So that one, it's going to
be some extra fireworks in that game.
Yeah, be some extra fireworks in that game. We're really going to see. It's another notable. This is going to be Big 12 versus Big 12. So basically,
extra conference game.
Yeah, it's going to be an extra conference game for the next 3 years. So for this season and next season, and then it will change back to whatever bowl tie-in since there's no more Pac-12. So basically, what this game is going to be now is going to be our current Big 12 tournament and then a former Pac-12. So basically, it would either be Utah, Colorado, Arizona State, or Arizona that you'd be facing. So basically, you get to face them if you didn't face them this season. We didn't get to see this game, so we finally get to see what happens in this game.
Oh, cool. And then finally, you have the Radiance Technologies Independence Bowl, Louisiana Tech, taking on Army.
Woo!
Honestly, up Army. Unfortunately, they fell short against Navy in the Army-Navy game. A lot of people I knew were cheering on Army.
Yeah, and they got destroyed by Navy.
Yeah, Navy, who is it? Blake Horvath was just balling. He had himself a really good day.
He sure was.
All right.
And Louisiana Tech was put into this game because Marshall basically decided not to play in this bowl game since everybody on their team went into the portal.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Now, let's see how that plays out. Maybe Army will get themselves a nice bowl win after playing a really good, their first year in the American, and they win the conference.
Yeah. I mean, you look at Tulane, who they face, and Tulane, they just, like, their quarterback left, and now they're in cahoots right now, so it's going to be nuts. Yep. I did just want to look at these New Year's Eve and New Year's Day matchups, and then we can get up out of here. Yep. But the day starts off with the ReliaQuest Bowl. ReliaQuest Bowl used to be the Outback Bowl. We get a rematch of last year's semifinal, Alabama versus Michigan.
How about that? Who would have thought these two would meet in two different circumstances, 1 year apart, for a spot in the national championship? Now you're playing in the ReliaQuest Bowl.
Yeah, man. It's very, very interesting. Just really personally, I really just want Alabama to lose because their fans on Twitter have been absolutely annoying this past weekend.
Oh, my God. Oh,
we should have been in the playoff. Well, you shouldn't have gotten beat by 3 touchdowns to OU. Shut up.
Yeah, while not scoring a single touchdown.
Right. Like, I just...
Like, and also, with these blowouts, this isn't the first time we've seen teams get blown out in the playoffs. The first 4-team playoff, we saw Oregon put Belta as on Florida State. 2015, I believe. Was it Clemson shut out Ohio State, if I'm not mistaken? And Alabama, you've been on the end of belt to ass from Clemson. The national championship, you lost 44-16. But it's not, blowouts aren't new to the playoffs. They aren't new. And like maybe like people like, I don't know, you probably do need to get better people to really analyze the games better, but there's a reason we play these games.
Right. And we need and Did you hear the foolishness that Kirk Herbstreit was saying that, like, basically wins don't matter anymore? I'm like, wins don't matter? So basically, like, we should just stop playing the games and only look at stats then, right?
Because but the problem is, but the problem is, you don't play the games, you don't have stats to look at.
It doesn't make any sense, bro.
I don't know.
They're just capping for the SEC.
Yeah, I mean, it's whatever. So it's whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, now that we got that off our soapbox, we've got some other games. We've got the Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl between Louisville and Washington. This one will be a CBS game, so the presentation might be pretty nice for this game.
Yeah. Washington, 6 coming off 6-6 season. Louisville, 7-5. This one should be an interesting matchup. I'm really looking forward to this Cheese It Citrus Bowl matchup. I think this one could be fun. We have South Carolina versus Illinois battle for who can possibly get their 10th win this season. Yeah.
Beamer Bowl. This year has shown that Beamer Bowl is capable of winning.
Yeah. And
I'll say this. Out of the three between Alabama, Ole Miss, and Carolina, if I had to choose any of those three to put in the playoff, I would have gone Carolina because Carolina was trending in the right direction.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, and they probably would have easily been in. And because if you look at the Bama matchup and the LSU matchup from earlier in the year, they could have won both those games. They would have been easily in at 11-1.
Yeah. I mean, and then with their losses, those two losses, like, those are probably, and then they, yeah, all of Carolina's losses were to teams that were ranked at the time. So, in hindsight, yeah. And they were coming off of, what, 3-4, 6 game winning streak. And then they beat future ACC champion Clemson. Yeah. I think had Clemson not stolen the bid, I think Carolina would have gotten in.
I agree. And I wouldn't have been mad at it. Like, South Carolina definitely would have deserved to have that playoff spot, definitely more than LSU. I think this could sneakily be the game of the day, the next one. Baylor versus LSU, there's going to be tons of points in this one.
I hope Energy Stadium has enough pyro for this one, because this is basically, this is, would you say Energy Stadium is kind of like actual neutral ground between Baylor and LSU?
Just about, yeah. I'm guessing that there has to be a decent amount of Baylor alum, and then LSU with a lot of people moving to Houston from New Orleans after the hurricane. Yeah, I feel like there's gonna be a decent crowd in Houston.
Yeah, that's for sure. Let's see, any other games you want to talk about? I mean, we could the Gator Bowl. Hey, Lane Kiffin. Get off your soapbox and actually go coach your team to wins, all right?
Yeah, your team ready for the Gator Bowl.
What was up with Lane Kiffin tweeting about, oh, the playoffs, yada yada, and he says riveting. And then, what is going on? The SEC is in such a meltdown, but here I am. But I'm all here for it.
Yeah, they're in such a meltdown. I'm here for it. I don't get it, bro. Like, I'm like, you had the chance, and Bama, like, they forget. SEC fans love to forget, like, their own conference losses. well, this is why we shouldn't play anybody outside of conference. I'm like, well, you already don't play anybody outside of conference anyway. I was like, it's because the conference losses that didn't make get you into the playoff. Maybe mm-hmm. you shouldn't lose to Ole Miss. You shouldn't lose to 4-8 Kentucky and an average Florida team. Bama, you shouldn't lose to teams like Vanderbilt and
an average
Oklahoma.
Yeah, but that's for the next season to figure out. But, I mean, before we leave, I got to ask you, what is your favorite flavor of Pop-Tarts?
Man, yeah, we got to talk about this. I'm going to get on my soapbox. Eric, I don't know why you like to trash me with my pick. It is brown sugar cinnamon is an elite flavor of Pop-Tart. That is the best flavor of Pop-Tart, bar none. He tried to be trifling and tell me, oh, this is your favorite flavor. And his trifling self tried to give me the unfrosted flavor. I'm like, bro, nobody eats the unfrosted Pop-Tarts. I'm talking about the frosted flavor. That is one of the best flavors. Look, these are my top three, bro. It's that, strawberry, and then chocolate chip. And then, what about yours?
Okay, my number one, these are all, like, first off, whoever likes unfrosted or frosted, you are nuts. What is wrong with you? Why would you have an unfrosted Pop-Tart? What do you mean? But, yeah, anyways, my top three, my number one would have to be, let's go with frosted cherry. That's my number one. And number two, I would have to go strawberry.
Okay. Another underrated flavor is like wild berry. That like
true.
That was that blue and purple. And I mm-hmm. think they said that there's they're trying to vote on who's gonna get toasted for the win.
Yeah. But yeah, and then my final flavor, I would have to go with s'mores. Those are my three.
S'mores is underrated for me. I like it, but I like chocolate chip a lot more.
Yeah. I mean, I just like the cherry flavor, but yeah, I guess I would have to give an honorable mention to cookies and cream.
Cookies and cream is a very good flavor too. I like that one. And then hot fudge sundae.
Ooh. Oh, that's a good one.
Our offensive coordinator's favorite flavor. And that's also Eric's favorite flavor. So
I just love the fact that we were able to recreate the Kyle Conrarty photo from Psyhawk. Who would have thought Kyle Conrarty's photo? Yeah. Who would have thought the 54 box of the Pop-Tarts meant that we would be eventually playing in the Pop-Tarts Bowl, and he got to recreate the photo. I don't want to imagine what is going to happen if we win the Pop-Tarts Bowl. We get the trophy as well. My man is going to be living off of Pop-Tarts for the rest of winter break.
Well, you know that's going to be in the football promo video for the schedule release, like if we win. So, be prepared.
Just toast it up. Just imagine each time we toast a Pop-Tart, you just, like, able to put on, like, the schedule of the team you play. It's like, it has to do with, like, the colors. I feel like I'm a marketing genius right now. Use the Pop-Tart trophy, and each time you have a toasted Pop-Tart, you just put the team that you're playing, or the colors, or the color of the Pop-Tart.
Write that down!
All right, if any of the coaches are listening, just give me credit, but that's the idea. There's an offer. There's an offer on the table right there.
Yes, athletic department, football page. Hopefully you're listening. Listen to our ideas. You will have a lot of views.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Do you have any other thoughts, Cody?
Oh, I'm ready for this I'm ready for this bowl game. But I mean, in the meantime, hoping the holidays are great for you. I know they'll be great for my family, and I hope they're going to be great for our audience.
Yes, audience. We miss you. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Whatever holiday you guys celebrate. Happy holidays. I'm from me and Cody and the Believe Network. So thank you guys for joining us. You guys can listen to this anytime. This is just for the holidays. It'll be right out there for you in like the next hour or so. So you can listen to it tonight, today, tomorrow. We also have our other forms that you can reach us on Believe Network or on Believe in Iowa State, BLEAV. We have YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. So, for Tyler Carter.
And for Cody Vanciulolo.
This is the Believe in Iowa State podcast. Roll clones, baby.
Let's go State.